And what role will these big games early in the year have in all this?
Well, you know, you'll have a read on how they handle big games and how they handle adversity, because the Trinity League is stacked up pretty good. And they're going to play six big games right in a row. I honestly believe that. Because you put IMG in front of it, because we don't have a bye going into league. So, you know, we'll find out what we're all about in those six.
Hello, everybody. Dan Albano here again with the Orange County Register and OCVarsity.com. And you have found the Trinity League Football Podcast. We are going toward week zero, and we're once again joined, like always, by our Trinity League insider, Scott Barajas. Scotty, how are you doing this evening as we're recording here on August 13th, 2018, getting ready for week zero?
I'm good, Dan. You know, that's kind of crazy that it's August 13th and we're already talking the start of the season. But it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sure you are as well.
Yes, a little bit of a sad day in Orange County high school athletics, because there was the passing of a Newport Harbor legend. Did you hear about the famous shot putter who passed away earlier today from I think the 1970s at Newport Harbor?
Was that Jim the Anvil Neidhart?
Jim the Anvil Neidhart. That's right, former shot put champion. From Newport Harbor, 1973 state champion in the shot put, still holds the school record. I wonder if he ever played football, but I was a big, I'm a big wrestling fan, at least from when I grew up in the 1980s. And I was a big Jim the Anvil guy with the Hart Foundation.
Yeah, that's right. I'm right there with you too, Dan. I remember that as well. You know, it's a sad day as, just having to think about, he's not the only one. I mean, I think the past couple of months, a lot of those WWF wrestlers have been passing away. So, you know, it is what it is. But, it is a sad day.
That's true. I got to believe he probably played football at some point. I mean, what big stud shot putter doesn't play some football at some time at Newport Harbor? But I'll have to do some investigative journalism to see if he ever did play football. But the season is finally here, 2018. Trinity League season, and it's an interesting time with these non-league games. The road to the Trinity League begins this coming Thursday with a couple Thursday night games. Servite taking on Bakersfield at Santa Ana Stadium on August 16th, Thursday, and then that same night, Santa Margarita playing host to Downey. That game's at Tribuco Hills. Both 7 o'clock starts. And The opening audio that we had was, of course, Bruce Rollinson talking about what it's going to be like in this non-league season for modern-day top-ranked team in the country, defending national champions. This is really going to show a lot about their team as they get to the Trinity League season because of the demands of this non-league season. So in the course of our show tonight, we are going to continue our previews, and we're going to have season outlooks on each of the six Trinity League teams. And we're also going to have our breakout players to watch. Last week we did our under the radar players. Now we're going to have our breakout players. And we're also, Scotty and I are also going to have our season predictions, 1 through 6. We're gonna have our fearless predictions, and then we're gonna end the show by looking at these week zero games. Everybody in the Trinity League is in action, including on Friday night the first ever game at St. John Bosco's new $7 million stadium. They're taking on Tempview of Provo, Utah. So, Scott, are you pretty fired up about this schedule? You know, there's some good games we'll be talking about later, I think.
Yeah, there will be. You know, like we said, they started on Thursday, continue on Friday. You know, it's just the start of the season, and we'll just see how it goes from there.
All right. Well, let's start as far as our outlooks of these teams. Let's start with the guys that are playing on Thursday. So let's start with those Santa Margarita Eagles. Coach Rich Fisher's teams, Rich Fisher's team, really got a new look this year. Obviously, a lot of attention on the new quarterback, Peter Castelli, just a sophomore transfer from St. John Bosco, who's looked good on the Frostsoft level. He's, looks like a college prospect. He must be pretty good to be the starter as a sophomore. Santa Margarita kind of surprised me last year. They were 3-2 in the Trinity League. They got third place, 7-4. Had a notable victory at J. Sarah in the league. That was one of the highlights of their season last year. But Scotty, as we break down the Eagles, what's your outlook for Santa Margarita?
They're kind of been an enigma this offseason. I'm not sure if they're a top five team in Orange County. I think they're going to get the benefit of the doubt because as they are a Trinity League team, they don't return a lot. And I don't think they had anything really that talented on their freshmen and lower levels. Like we said, they're building within. They didn't rely on a lot of transfers. They do have the sophomore quarterback, Peter Castelli, and that's a great start to build with. But they're solid on the offensive line that returns 4 out of 5 starters with, tackle Brandon Schillig and his brother Jason Schillig at guard. They have center Donovan Aureliana and guard Matthew Killander. The pass catchers, are going to be the returners Chad Niad and Jake Ebach, who led them with 21 catches for 433 yards, and then newcomer tight end to watch for Gary Morrison. And then Jake Thomas returns, at running back with his 443 yards. Defensively, 2 starters return with defensive back Blake Bianchi and defensive lineman Logan Schwenke. And then Mark R. Jr. comes over from Olu to help up shore up the secondary with the sophomore one to watch and Keanu Kama at corner. And then you have newcomers Tyler Hardigan, which is Jim Hardigan's son,
right,
and Connor Burke and Nick Barcelos rounding out their linebackers. The defensive line has interesting twist as they plan to use converted O-lineman, 325-pound Isaac Tulupa Sia, nose guard, and they're kind of going to take a page from Bosco in modern day, kind of manning sides at that nose guard, to plug up that middle, combining with Schwenke and part-time starter Billy Oberhertz at DN, that rounds out Santa Margarita's defense. So it's going to be one of those kind of wait and see with Santa Margarita. They take on a Downey team that's pretty much athletic. And they were pretty solid last year, but Santa Margarita kind of handled them last year.
Yeah.
We'll kind of talk about that in our preview, but that kind of rounds out Santa Margarita.
Well, good job, Scotty. That is some great insight by you breaking down that team. The big thing, is the theme is just that there's, like you're pointing out, a lot of these guys that you talked about, besides the O-line, there's just not a lot of players back. And even if you look at the Trinity League team last year, they don't have a single all-league player back. So they have some very good players, but they don't have any all-leaguers back. So that's going to be – they're adjusting on the fly. I like the direction that – and I like what you said last week, that I think Rich Fisher likes the low profile. I don't have Santa Margarita ranked as high as maybe some people do. In Orange County, I see them – I have them 8th in Orange County. And I think that's where I would put them, where I have, Orange Lutheran, Mater Dei, J. Sarah, in the top 3 in Orange County. And then I come in with like Mission, La Habra, San Clemente, Corona Del Mar. And then I have to really make a choice between, Santa Margarita and Servite. Of course, we're taking out Bosco out of the equation. So really a new look team. I think Rich Fisher, like you said, likes the low profile. I think they're going to try to, maybe do some new things scheme wise. I think they're building there. They're going to try to play really disciplined football, mistake free football. I think the running back Jake is going to have a big year with that offensive line, but they're going to have to show teams that they can pass the ball, especially in the Trinity League. And if they don't have a dynamic, balanced offense, that will take away their run game, and then they will have some problem scoring, and I think they're going to have some problems. They could have some problems slowing some people down on offense, at least some of the high explosive teams, which we know are coming in the Trinity League.
Exactly. I'm pretty right there with you. I think they're right about an 8th ranked, 9th ranked team. I agree with you on that that part of it.
All right, Scotty. The other team that's playing this week on Thursday, we're starting with the early birds, is Servite. So the Troy Thomas tour number two is going to be in full effect. Coach Thomas takes over, as we mentioned, for Scott Meyer, who's moved on now to University in Irvine, back in the Pacific Coast League. But Troy Thomas is back at Servite, where he had considerable success. You know, he came in, it was at a time where Servite, you know, it was a tough moment for him. They tried to get the legendary coach John Barnes, and they did get him to be the head coach. But then on the same day he was introduced to the team, he reneged, went back to his kids at Los Al, couldn't break him the news, stood and remade at the school that he helped make a powerhouse, and he stayed true to the Griffins. But then came in Troy Thomas, restored and really elevated the program. You know, won two back-to-back Pac-5 titles. You know, he won a state title. But now it's a much different Trinity League. Modern day, Bosco are much more powerful, and he lost a ton of talent. But what's your thoughts on the Servite Friars?
Yeah, it's going to be hard-pressed for the Friars to make any noise in league, you know, but they certainly have some upside with their young skill players up and coming. But do they take their lumps with the rigors and the physicality of the Trinity League? You know, with Blaise McKibben at QB, you know, he's going to be teamed up with newcomers Julian Alessi, the PV transfer we had talked about,
right,
and junior Damian Moon. He's an Oakland Patterson High transfer from up north. And Los Al sophomore transfer Zedekiah Centers, probably they're going to be at the wide receiver spots. Now, the looming question mark of the offense is who's going to be at running back for the Friars. I know, Dan, you mentioned Isaiah Lutuauli,
yes,
at running back. You know, he won't be flashy, but he's, you know, he could possibly also be joined by St. John Bosco sophomore transfer two-way player Kyle Bandy. Bandy played running back as a freshman last season, but he may be needed more on the defensive side of the ball, so we'll have to see. And like we said, the team's strength going into the season are offensive linemen Richard and Clarence Krebs, Nick Martinez, Kyle Revere, and Jeremiah Lutaula, Isaiah's brother, and then he's going to be a junior. So bottom line is I don't think we're going to see any impact senior skill players this year, so watch, you know, for those sophomores and possibly a few freshmen, specifically 6'3 receiver Tatora T-Mac McMillan. So he's one of their top freshmen to watch for. And then defensively, you know, it may be more challenged in filling the offensive needs as they only return one starter on defense and free safety Cade Fuller. I do know Los Al sophomore transfers Noah Avinger is going to join Fuller at corner and possibly Daniel Anderson at free safety. After that, it's going to be a bunch of more newcomers, you know, at linebacker, part-time starter Andrew Marmoud returns, along with the pair of St. John Bosco transfers who could boost the need here, which is, again, I mentioned earlier, Bandy, he's a 5'10", 190 guy, and senior Chris Villarreal, 5'11", 218. So, and then on the defensive line, they get an Olu junior transfer, Ender Aguilar, who actually played tight end on the varsity level last year. And so he could be utilized here for the Friars. If they match the same strength on the defensive line as they do the offensive front, they could be in games. But without depth and strength, I don't know if the Friars can stop teams defensively.
Well, interesting. Well, good job on the Friars, who were 1-4 in league last year. They got Orange Lutheran. Everybody beat Olu last year. Lancers were 0-5. 6-5 for Servite. You know, you mentioned more transfers than I was expecting to hear. But that also fits the word that I had heard, and I know you had heard, that there was a lot more depth transfers that maybe we didn't know of, and some younger guys. So that's going to be interesting. And we're going to end this show. So everybody, please stay to the end of the show. We'll have a little comment from Coach Troy Thomas on some of his philosophies on building this team. And I think he wants to keep those freshmen off the field. I think he looks at it as a process. And I think there's some parallels between maybe how Santa Margarita and Servite approach this. I think both these teams, these programs, will actually be better next year than they will this year. So this is an important building year. They need to find some positives. That's how I look at it. And I think another thing to watch is just, you know, Coach Thomas and how the team responds to him and how, you know, how they can get some wins, because he did not win much at the end at Crespi.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, if he can get this thing going, you know, especially with this Thursday night game against the Drillers, because I honestly think, you know, the Friars could possibly pull that one out. But we'll have to wait and see. So,
and it also interesting as, and I talked to Coach Thomas late last week, they're still at a 9-game schedule, which I think is, you know, is still quite a bit of blow. Because as far as preparations for the Trinity League, they're going to get their 5 games in the Trinity League. Where they lose the game is they're going to lose a game of preparation in getting ready for the Trinity League, which is going to be tough. So they're only have 4 non-league games. They didn't have a scrimmage as well. So these are some of the things that sometimes happen in transitions, new staffs. You know, and you know, if Servite does get in a roll and they are 4-0, they're going to probably wish, man, I wish we were 5-0. We could have really used that game. Maybe if they're not winning, I mean, you could look at it a million ways. We wanted to get that one win, or we could get an extra 2 or 3 win. You know, we could have got to win 2 or 3. We could be 4-1. Maybe we need to rest we don't need the game. We need more practice time. But I was curious what you thought of it, Scotty, as far as, you know, it's a pretty big deal to me. When you only have 9 games and you're missing a game, because we're talking about, you know, there's only 10 regular season games and you're missing one, that's a tenth. That's a big deal.
It is, you know, everybody want, you know, because it's one less game that you get to play. And like you said, prepare time, practice time, it's just one less look, cut your season short. You know, you want to play as many as possible. You know, and I and Servite also, there were another team that didn't have a scrimmage. So, you know, this is going to be their first look on the field on Thursday night. So,
well, at least they are home, Santa Ana Stadium. I have to believe it's strategic. You know, you wonder, like, why are they playing at Santa Ana Stadium? And I don't know the situation at Cerritos College, but it does set up Servite. In one way, and I don't know if this is a strategy or what you think, but when they play Modern Day, their arch rival and their Trinity League opener, which will be September 28th, that game will be again at Santa Ana Stadium. So I don't think it's a coincidence that they're playing Bakersfield, but maybe you have some different insight on that, Scotty.
No, I'm not sure why. It's probably because they didn't have the stadium, but again, it's a Thursday game. Maybe it is a strategic move that because they're going to play in that stadium when they play Modern Day later on. But you know, who knows why they're going to be playing it there.
All right. Let's look at a team I'm very excited about. I think has a great chance to be really special this year, especially on offense. Is going to be Orange Lutheran. Lancers, like we said, 0-5 last year. But they have a much tougher non-league schedule. I don't know if this is necessarily is going to be that game. Probably not. They're opening this week against San Juan Hills. But they got a much better non-league schedule in 2018, you know, highlighted by games against Mission Viejo, Centennial, Corona. Those are going to be great games. Heritage. But, you know, Ryan Helinski leads a dynamic offense, a South Carolina commit. Tons of receivers, 2 Pac-12 committed tight ends, Elijah Moraro, Ethan Ray to Cal and USC, respectively. They've got KJ Trio, a commit at Colorado commit at one of the corners. They got JoJo Hawkins, a return man, adding some depth at receiver. You know, Logan Loya. They got some good linebackers. You know, and they have a lot of big linemen, so it will be a matter of some guys that we don't really know on our radar. But what's your thoughts on the outlook for Orange Lutheran?
Yeah, Olu, they're going to be improved, but how much is going to be the question? You know, I hesitated to put them at number two in Orange County. It was in between them and Mission Viejo. I think they have a few more question marks than Mission Viejo, in my opinion. And I'll get to those in a bit. You know, and I know the media and everybody loves Helsinki, and the fact that the entire offense returns pretty much 10 starters, headlined, like Mia said, by Kyle Ford, Logan Loye, Elijah Maharo, JoJo Hawkins, Reggie Strong. You know, those are the guys with the skills. Now, the issue that plagued them last year was that offensive line. Now, that offensive line returns pretty much the same five kids or kids who played a lot, and that's Jake Cosavella, Ethan Howard, Jacob Rice, Logan Bathke. You know, and they're going to be a lot better with that offseason strength program and experience. Then you're going to add newcomers, Tavita Takahaka and Adrian Tena and sophomore Fiano Pepe. You know, they're going to add that depth and size that gives the Lancers that better foundation than last year. And Pepe is one to watch for. And he's the younger brother of St. John Bosco D-line Kobe Pepe. So, you know, that's kind of interesting, you know, but it's they're going to have to get that run game going, you know, but that's not pretty much the main concern, because it's going to be their defense that is more concerning. They don't have a lack of quality defensive linemen, and that's going to be tough. Now, not one starter or player with significant experience returns, so that could be crucial. They may have some newcomers that step up that are under the radar that nobody knows about, but at this point, they don't have anyone that I can, you know, be strong about. You know, Jake Cosavella may play given the depth they have on O-line. Ethan Ray may get a look. You know, linebackers, you know, they return Jackson Cloyd and Zach Brogdon, you know, along with junior Jonah Loban. And then Servite transfer Jaron Amaso comes back, and he was like Servite's third leading tackle last year. You know, the defensive secondary is somewhat took a hit in the offseason. They lost three players, JoJo Forrest to Mission Viejo, Mark R. Jr. to Santa Margarita, and Drew Ramirez to Santa Ana. Forrest and Ramirez were starters, but they did pick up, you know, Servite's KJ Trujillo and Jared Barberino from Santa Margarita to go along with returner Thomas Huff at corner and Reggie Strong at free. You know, I will say they're going to go as far as Helsinki can take them. But they're going to have to stop people on defense, and they're not going to be able to get into shootouts. And I think we should get an early read on this Lancer team probably the week after this week when they take on Centennial.
Yes, indeed. Well, great job on that one on the Lancers, and I think you've got it. I think that secondary sounds a little bit better, but man, would they love to probably have Ard and JoJo or Ramirez, then they would be right. That would be a heck of a secondary, but it still looks all right. I think Huff did look good to me, even on offense too. And slot running back, his name hasn't come up to me too much, but I think he looked pretty good to me at the Edison passing tournament. One of those linemen that you mentioned, they do have, it was a pretty promising kid, transfer from Santa Margarita, who's one of those big O linemen. Who had, I believe, had gone to Santa Margarita, had to do the sit out last year, and was from Costa Mesa.
I think that was Tavita Takahaka.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Pretty big kid. I'll try to check him out here in the course of our show. But they have a lot of size and a lot of seniors, like you said, some experience, and then a couple juniors to watch. I think it might have been Isaac.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
no, I think you know what? That's my mistake. I think I messed that one up on we were talking about Santa Margarita. I think that was it. I think that's the kid that's at Olu now.
Yeah, Tupa Pilicia.
Yeah, you're right. I had
six.
On, I forgot that he moved over to Olu.
Yeah, he's 6'4", 300. And he is 340, excuse me. He's a big guy, 6'4", 340 pounds. He's a rising junior. And the other guy, Wes, did you mention Wes, right? UPI?
Yeah.
5'11", 265. He's one of the smaller guys they have. Pepe, 6'4", 325. You mentioned him. He is going to be a sophomore. So I have him down as a class of 2021. So that's obviously a very athletic family. You know, the sister is an outstanding basketball player, Kylie Pepe, as well. She had played at Mater Dei, but one of the rumors on girls basketball, I have to check out her whereabouts. But that's going to be big. We continue to try to get to know the O-line at Orange Lutheran, and that D-line and that defense will be so important for Orange Lutheran. All right, Scotty, moving on. Let's go to the St. John Bosco Braves. Let's get to the Braves. Last year, another, you know, outstanding season. They were just second behind Mater Dei, you know, got to the finals again. But they were 11-3, 4-1 overall in league play. We've talked about they got a great line back, both sides of the ball, got some really good linemen. Led by, on defense, a guy I like a lot, Cole Aubrey, really can get after the quarterback, former Jay Sarah player. They got a lot of guys committed, they got the new stadium this year. No Chad Johnson at offensive coordinator. I think that's going to be a significant thing, where Chad Johnson's now down at Mission Viejo as the new head coach. But Coach Negro still is running the show and doing a great job, and he knows what he's doing there. What's your thoughts on the Braves, Scotty, their outlook?
You know, Bosco's hungry, and they want to get their swagger back, and rightfully so. They, you know, they have enough to win it. They certainly have the horses up front on offense to score and score. You know, it's no secret their offense runs through DJ Unalalehi. I got it right. I've been practicing.
Good job.
With its supporting cast, you know, they have their three-headed monster of George Helani, who's the all-purpose back, Nathaniel Sambis, who's the power, and then Keith Savage, who's like the swift scat back.
Right.
You know, and he runs pretty hard for being a little guy, too. You know, at the receivers, it's, you know, Chris Hudson, Bowman, and Sherman Oaks, Notre Dame newcomer, Bo Collins, you know, and tight end Jude Wolf, you know, will keep their opposition on the toes. You know, last week we touched on the O-line returning too. It's their center, Albert Reyes, and the guard, Maravich Talibu, who's coming back from being injured after, like, game one. You know, it's junior Blake Metcalf and sophomore Jay Serra transfer Logan Bednar, you know, are going to round out the tackles as their mainstays. You know, defensively, you know, the defensive line and linebackers are going to carry their defense with Cole Aubrey, Nahum Rodman, Suave Pody, you know, Kobe Pepe, and Sarah Noseguard transfer Kael Bennett, you know, and Romeo Galasso. So they have all that depth. Linebackers, Raylan Groforth, Jacob Jordanall, and Servite newcomers, you know, Spencer Lytle and Court Williams, you know, are going to man that the backers. We mentioned the secondary kind of being their Achilles heel, and that's mainly because of who they had, who's Bosco has had as their secondary the past two seasons. Obviously, Chris Steele as cornerback is their strength, but with Titus Toler, Trent McDuffie, and Jake Newman, and Jake Bailey, you know, it showed at times they've given up more than we expected in the offseason at passing tournaments. I know it's passing tournaments, but it's still coverage. But we're, you know, kind of splitting hairs because they are talented, and the pass rush should help. But, you know, if you had to pick something, that would be it in their secondary.
Yeah, just, you know, there's a lot of talent, you know, especially look at some of these commits. You know, Judd Wolf, USC, that tight end. Isn't the receiver Chris Hudson? He's already committed to USC, right?
Correct, yes.
And then Chris Steele, USC?
Yes.
So three Trojan commits. You mentioned the D lineman, right? Potty?
Yes, Suave.
Suave. Oregon commit. You know, Colby Bowman, who I like a lot, saw him in track, saw him in passing league, a deep threat, committed to Stanford. You know, he's going to have a big year. He looked great at the Edison tournament, just running past people. He doesn't drop it. Spencer Lytle, now headed to Wisconsin. Where's, Yeah. Titus Toler, Colorado, so is the other lineman, Rodman's committed to Colorado.
Yep, that's correct.
And then you mentioned Talavu coming back as Utah commit. I mean, that's a lot of guys, a lot of seniors, huh, Scotty?
It is, and that's, you know, that's what it takes. We saw the blueprint Modern Day had, and Bosco's kind of doing that same thing, you know, and they're relying on that their senior group. And it's all about the brotherhood and friends and family, and they all, you know, keep making note of it, that's, you know, that's what's going to get them through it. So
yeah, when we, the guys we have, and as far as college commitments that we haven't mentioned, is, you know, Trent McDuffie, haven't heard about his commitment yet, maybe Jake Bailey. There's a couple other guys that they could get, but I think they're going to be tough. They're going to be, it's going to be, I think the gap, and I know we'll get to this, is closer, I think, between Modern Day this year and Bosco. But we'll get to that. I'm not a big fan, I'll say it now, I'm not a huge fan of their schedule, which as far as the challenges for them, where, you know, I don't think, you know, they're opening with the Utah team, Timpview, Garces of Bakersfield, and they're playing a Hawaiian team, Mililana, Paramount, and Chaminade. I'll say that maybe that Chaminade game will be pretty good, but nothing like Modern Day schedule, and not really like what Bosco's played before. What's your thoughts on the Brave schedule?
Yeah, it is. They had trouble scheduling this year. I think there was some talk that they were trying to get a team from Florida and a team from Hawaii, and both of those fell through, and so they kind of picked up this Timpview, and you know, I think they have Paramount on that as well. So it's right. Kind of you know, it is what it is, but in the end, you know, you kind of gotta, that's what happens when you're these national powers. It's hard because nobody wants to play against you, so you kind of got to take what you get.
That's right. All right, well, we're almost done here with our team outlooks. We appreciate everybody joining us here on the Trinity League Football Podcast. Thank you for listening. Please tell your friends, support, and like our videos if you see them posted on Facebook or YouTube, where we're posting all this stuff. Like us on Twitter. Please let us know that you like what we're doing, and we're working hard for you, and we appreciate you listening. Couple more teams. Let's go with Jay Sarah, which has got a big game this Friday that we'll be talking about. But let's talk about the team outlook for the Lions, who got off to that fast start. I think last week I said they started 8-0 last year. They actually started 7-0, and they lost in Week 8 undefeated showdown with Modern Day. But they started out, you know, blazing fire, kind of slowed out toward the end of the year. You know, they lost in the first round of the playoffs in a high-scoring game, believe it or not, 60-44. But they had some problems on defense toward the end, for sure, because they also gave up 51 points the previous game to St. John Bosco. But overall, it was you know, a pretty solid year for Coach Harlow. 7-4, 2-3 in league. Tough loss against Santa Margarita. Kind of a very close swing game. But what's your outlook on it could be a very good Jay Sarah team?
Yeah. Like I said last week, I think Jay Sarah's, you know, they're not going to have a Robinson at quarterback in six seasons. You know, Servite's Caden Bell will kind of duplicate, you know, the moxie the Robinson brothers brought to the Jay Sarah program. They carried the Lions for a lot of games, you know, a lot of wins over their six seasons. You know, he certainly, you know, is going to have help with the, you know, former running back, MD running back Chris Street, you know, wide receivers Tarik Luckett, Mudon McLean, and Tyler Schumer, who we talked about last week. They're going to be their core guys. You know, then manning the Lions up front, you know, there's returner Ryan Blythe and Jack Harlow. And then they're going to be joined by a few new transfers, Ryan Sufaloa from Centennial Junior, Jeff Percy from Modern Day, and another junior. I'm not sure if he's going to get a lot of time or not, from ML King. Sulufa started at guard for Centennial last season, and then Percy was a 6'6", 210-pound tight end at Modern Day, and he's gained about 40 pounds to make that transition to offensive tackle. So that's going to be interesting to watch him play offensive tackle after being a tight end. you know, he has great upside with his size and frame, but playing in that Trinity League, you know, it's going to be huge. So defensively, sir, they were pretty much a Jekyll and Hyde defense last season, keeping the opposition to low scores, and then they would come back and they'd give up about 4 touchdowns. So the next game, you know, despite, you know, losing Malik Abdul-McLean on their defensive line,
yeah,
you know, they're still going to be bolstered by 2 new transfer defensive linemen. It kind of seems to be like a reoccurring theme here with everybody, but, you know, they have a 6'3", 265 Shaq LeBouf from Long Beach Poly and a 6'2", 270 Uatele Moala from ML King to go with returning Shane Nelson and Grant Ristoff. You know, the Nelson is up 20 pounds from last year. He's going to be playing at 265, so that's going to help too. Linebackers led by Victor Clanton and strong safety / hybrid Calvin Mousset.
Yep.
And their secondary, Tyler Schumer, returns as their lone starter at free safety. And junior Anthony Ward looks to be slated strong. And then they're going to have 2 newcomers transfer, modern-day sophomores, Amaji Duncan, and the Pacifica transfer, Hagan Foreman, who was the first-team All-Empire League selection. And he had 7 picks last year to go along. He's going to go along with Coachell Morris Walker to round out their corners. So, you know, and I know we touched basis on all the transfers. You know, if anybody's keeping score, you know, Jay Saron led the way with 15. I know we didn't mention everybody, but regardless of that, Jay Saron is still going to be fun to watch, and they're still going to, you know, I think they're going to have, they have the potential to be better than they were last year.
Yeah, I'm pretty high on Jay Saron. I mean, so high. In Orange County, I have them ranked third in the preseason. I gave them the notch over Mission Viejo. I just think they have a lot of guys. They have to gel. It's a common theme we talked about with Modern Day. They've got to gel. But you look at with Caden Bell, a healthy Munar McLean, a Tarek Luckett, Chris Street, they got a ton of weapons, and if they can get that line to block and protect and spring some holes, and they got to play a much, you know, play discipline and try to cut down the mistakes that really hurt them last year, the offense is going to be, could be really a lot to deal with because of, you know, a lot of it goes back to Coach Harlow being an offensive lineman at heart and, you know, his background as a player. They're going to pound it and get physical. And they'll be balanced, and they'll help out Caden Bell. So that's going to be a lot for people to deal with if they're playing well. And then it's, you know, I think the thing they have to work on is the secondary and the corners. But maybe their defensive line can help them. I talked to Coach Harlow. He likes Moyola and Shaq as impact guys. I like Sean Nielsen a lot. He's a preseason, you know, all-county type guy to watch. He's got a great motor. I think he can be like Malik McLean. He's a San Diego State commit in Nelson. And you'll see what else they can, you know, they, you know, Victor, that's going to need some help at linebacker. And the Calvin will help coming up. But there are just a couple players maybe that they need to develop and get some good production on in the secondary. But they're pretty close to being really good, and I could see it going either way for them. But I think they're going to be better. You know, if they're playing well, I think they could give a lot of trouble to Orange Lutheran, and maybe even we'll see, you know, how, if they can kind of match up and be more competitive with like a Modern Day or Bosco.
Yeah, because it's a long ways between now and then, and, you know, a lot can happen. You know, if some guys develop, you know, or there's injuries, or, you know, last year was just a perfect, you know, everything went according to plan when, you know, it ended up being them and Modern Day being undefeated at that time. You know, on paper, you know, they have it all right there. Like you said, it's just they got to get through a couple of, you know, some concerns through their secondary, but everything else, they're solid.
You know, if you watch too, one thing that I think kind of slowed them down a little bit, and it was understandable, but, you know, Al Fisher got off to a great start last year. And even in the first Trinity League game, I think it was against Servite, he had a huge game, rushed for almost 300 yards. The guy just wore down. And then they weren't able to really run and balance out their offense toward the end of the year. And if Chris Street is running wild, or if they're able to not use him too much early on the year and keep him fresh, that could be another dynamic where if you have Jay Sarah coming in and you have one of the rising running backs in Southern California running loose, that could make them look pretty different.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, we've all talked about Street, and I think, you know, that's going to be very key for them. So,
yep. All right. Last but not least, team outlook for modern day. Of course, we know the defending national champs, 15-0 last year, a school record for victories, 5-0 in the Trinity League. They've won that the last 2 years. But Scotty, what's your outlook on, you know, another team with has a lot of transfers, some new players at key spots, guys like Bryce Young at quarterback, and they have a big injury that they're losing. They think for the year perhaps Mace Funa, but they got some new linebackers. They got some new D linemen to really watch. They didn't get to play last year. Guys like Bennett, Hudson Ware, that are real studs in the interior. But what's your thoughts on the Monarchs? And they got that, you know, revamped offensive line too.
Yeah, you know, first, you know, it's going to start with Brew McCoy, who without a doubt is, I think, the number one player in Orange County. You know, and then there's, you know, with Bryce Young, you know what he did at Cathedral. They're going to be the focal point in the passing game. But with the balance between Dollars Harper, Brady and Huffman Dixon, and Big Mike Martinez, you know, they're going to make the offense go. And as I mentioned last week, you know, don't look for the air raid, you know, but more of a balanced running and passing with the new look O-line. You know, even though this O-line is a new group, they're potentially a better run blocking team than last year's line, who were the pass protection pros. You know, Miles Morrow returns, you know, he's moving to left tackle. You got George Mikihan, he's going to go be at center. And then juniors Ty Marks and Kuamata Lavasa at the guards. You know, and Marks, you know, is going to establish himself, you know, and he was worthy enough to be, you know, on your 150.
Yeah.
I know it was kind of tough, but you know, watch for him. You know, on defensive front, you know, it's their secondary that's going to be the catalyst for the defense. Elias Ricks rated the number one cornerback for the 220 class. He kind of turned it up this summer, dominating these national camps. And he showed it at the Edison tournament, blanking receivers, including Kyle Ford, who was abusing DBs all summer. You know, Ricks is at once in a generation corner, 6'3", long arms, who can run, which allows him to cover a lot of space. You know, combined with Darion Green-Warren, you know, who's more than just the other corner. You know, he could be a number one anywhere else as well. You got William Nemo, Jeremiah Cridell, who I think is going to have a great year out of that safety spot because he's going to be utilized all over the field. Linebackers are going to go seven deep. You know, it's the position MD has the most depth. You know, former safety Nate White's going to move to outside backers.
Yeah.
Lubar is going to move inside with Dean Neely, who took over for Solo when he went down last year. And then transferred, you know, Jacob Fuamata from La Habra looks to be right now to have replaced Funa at outside linebacker. Defensive line is going to be manned by Kenyon and Ware Hudson, Evan Bennett, and Safita Tupe, and Martin Salazar as the mainstays. And it's an entirely new line, you know, with the exception of Salazar, who we said, you know, he played in the rotation until he got hurt, but the talent and the strengths are there. As a team, they're going to go as far as their offensive line and linebackers take them. If they win in the trenches and, of course, stay healthy, you know, and things are looking, you know, good for MD. You know, they pretty much stayed healthy last year with the exception of losing Solo late in the playoffs, you know, but that depth is going to be an issue everywhere except for linebacker. So if they should have to go and dip into the backups, you know, they don't have the quality of backups to sustain this big run. But if all stays on par, you know, modern day is going to be right there at the end playing for championships.
Yeah, and you mentioned the run, which starts for Monarchs, starts this week against at Santa Ana Bowl against Bishop Amant, who I think they handled them last year. But then it begins in earnest next, you know, week from Friday. They'll be in the desert, as Coach Rollinson has said, against Bishop Gorman, who's going to be of Las Vegas, who's going to be looking for big time revenge after the Monarchs pretty much beat up the Gales last year at the Bowl. I mean, Bishop Gorman's got to have a bad taste in her mouth still from that beatdown. Was a coming out party for Mater Dei. Then, you know, Mater Dei's going to take that break a little bit against La Mirada. That's a weak game. But then they're going to ramp it up against St. Mary's, who's a pretty good team, won 11 games last year out of the San Joaquin section. But then they're playing IMG, another nationally ranked team, on the 21st of September. That's also the Santa Ana Bowl. So that Bishop Gorman game is coming soon. And then it's going to be, before long, it's going to be the IMG game that's going to have everybody talking. And these are top national teams. So it's going to be quite a game. You know, the one thing I think line play is going to be important on the offensive line. But I also wonder, Scotty, what about the mentality of, leadership is going to be really important. Guys like Brew McCoy, Shakobe Harper, Elias Ricks, Michael Martinez, Steele Dunbar is one of their captains. I think that's their captains is Dunbar, Brew McCoy, Big Mike. There's one other guy. Is it Nemo?
No. Their captains are Brew, Mike Martinez, Steele Dunbar, and Shakobe Harper.
And Harper. You know, because that's one thing that really helped Mater Dei last year as they were building toward that special year was, you know, they had great senior leaders, you know, guys like Tommy Brown. And obviously, you know, JT was, you know, it ended up being his last year, but you had a guy like JT that was, you know, was an amazing leader. Really was a team first guy and always seemed to say the right things. Great practice players. Those were really solid type leaders. I think really was big. Solomon was a very good leader by example. I think the mentality like the Amon-Ra, I think that was contagious, where you have a guy that was really fierce out there and brought it every game. That was kind of contagious, and I always thought Amon-Ra showed a lot last year when he was, wasn't he hurt a little bit early in the year, but he was jumping around and supporting his teammates in a game he couldn't play. And I think that was pretty big. I believe that was his last year. Maybe it was his junior year. If the years are blending in, it was last year. He was hurt a little bit, but he had great energy on the sideline supporting his teammates. This Mater Dei team has got to find that kind of mentality that made those teams champion. It's just not going to come to them based on their talent.
Yeah, without a doubt, Dan. And that was part of the off-season, concern that we had talked about last week, because we don't know, the adversity that these guys are going to face and how they, do they crumble? Do they take it? Because last year there was no adversity, realistically. I mean, they never trailed in a game. So, Brew, Shakobe, Mike, Steele, they all been there. So they, they're the ones that are going to have to get these guys who have never been there. When it does happen, they're going to have to fight through it, because, this team is by far different than it was last year. I mean, we want to still say it's Mater Dei, but, JT and Amon and those guys, that wide receiver core and that all offensive line was something special. And they, even though the secondary remains intact, but everything else doesn't. And so that's the one thing, it's the senior leadership is big. And that's why we had alluded to Bosco earlier as having that as well. So we'll see, in the end, how this plays out, when we can go all back and look at it, how, what were the catalysts for why this, who won. So.
All right, Scotty. Well, hey, great job on all of six of those teams. Our outlooks for all six of those teams. Now, before we give our predictions, let's move real quick and talk about some of our breakout players for each team. So why don't we start with our breakout players? Let's start back up with those Santa Margarita Eagles. Who's your breakout player for them?
I'm going with that Chase Nead. He's a 6'3 receiver. He's kind of been a pleasant surprise in the camp for Eagles, who are in need of skill players. As a sophomore, he only caught 9 passes for 120 yards, 2 touchdowns, but I'm surely that's going to be improved on.
All right. Well, I'll throw, I think, you know, who will become a star, I think, will be Jake Thomas. I mentioned him last week. I got his name wrong, so I'm going to make it better here with Jake Thomas, running back. I think that strong offensive line that we talked about, the sophomore quarterback, Castelli, they're not going to want to rush, and they're going to want to, you know, give him as much balance and protection from defenses as much as possible. And the way he ran so hard last year, I think he's a 1,000-yard rusher. Behind that offensive line. He's got an early offer from Stetson, and I think he's got a good chance to really pick up that slack from Chad Magyar last year, who was one of our all-county running backs. How about Servite? Scotty, who's your breakout player with the Friars?
I'm going to go Julian Alessi for what he did at PV as a sophomore. Yeah. You know, now he's been given the shot to be their kind of main offensive threat in the early go. He's put the improve his sophomore numbers, you know, and like I said, until the Friars, you know, can have some other kids step up offensively, I think he's going to be their kind of go-to guy.
All right. Well, that's a good one. I'm going to go with another, I'm going to go with a senior. Julian is a junior, transfer from PV, as we mentioned, but I'm going to go with Cade Fuller, 6'3" senior. I know you mentioned him at corner earlier today. I'm expecting to see him at safety, but he's also a real good punter. But I could see him at, you know, different packages at corner. And I think he'll be a good receiver for him. But I know he's a guy I think could really break out this year.
No, I had him at safety.
Oh, you did? Okay.
So I think it was the other two other sophomores I had coming in at Kohler. But it's all right.
Nope, all good. Let's go Orange Lutheran. Scotty, who's your breakout player 2018?
That's going to be I'm going to go with Ethan Ray. Last season he was set to contribute, he would make a name for himself on the field, and then an off-season knee injury kind of, you know, stopped that short. He's back stronger, you know, watch for him, you know, he's added strength. You know, adds a tight end. I know they're kind of loaded at tight end, but he may possibly play defensive line, but you know, I know he was primed to play defense last year before the injury, so he may just be limited to just tight end. But either way, I think he's going to have a breakout season.
All right, I'm going to go Reggie Strong because senior running back safety. I think Ryan Linsky said they're going to commit more to the run. The quarterback told me that during the summer. I think that would be good to get more balance on that offense, keep that defense off the field a little bit. And I think, you know, the balance will really help him out. So I think Reggie could have a, breakout year. I think he's really good, on the secondary too. I'm thinking more of him at running back if they indeed commit to, running the ball, with Reggie.
Yeah, I agree. That's another one too. If they do commit to the run and they do get their run game, Reggie will be the guy to make that go.
All right. How about St. John Bosco?
I'm going to go with Chris Hudson. You know, he basically, with Josh Delgado gone off to IMG,
right?
You know, Hudson made huge strides during the offseason, you know, which paid off with getting that USC offer and then committing. You know, look for Hudson as, you know, he's one of those, you know, the three go-to guys in their off passing offense. You know, he just seemed to get better last season. You know, he started low on the depth chart and he worked his way up, you know, and his quickness and his solid, you know, his hands make him a solid target. And so I love for him to be one of the, breakout guys for Bosco this year.
I can't argue with Chris Hudson, that's for sure. I'll agree with you on that one. How about Jay Serra?
This one's pretty, I'm going with Chris Street. You know, I think it's obvious in the consensus. I mean, everybody keeps talking about him. I think he's going to put up numbers. He certainly showed flashes of brilliance last season. He only carried the ball 5 times a game last season, but, you know, those runs showed enough that, you know, he's going to be a top back. You know, and we mentioned that he's probably the favorite to lead the league in rushing.
Yeah, I will. I think that's a great pick as well. I'm going to go with Calvin Musette, who playing that linebacker safety spot, senior leader. He's been described as the heartbeat of that program defensively. He's got an offer from Sacramento State, and I think him and Victor Clanton are going to really have a great year on that defense, and they're going to be really important, because that's going to be important, you know, for that secondary to make some stops, get that defense off the field, be sure tacklers, maybe force a turnover too. I think those are the kind of guys that those playmakers that they'll need. So I think Calvin Massett's my breakout player.
Yeah, good picks, Dan.
All right, let's finish up with the Monarchs. Who is your breakout player for the Monarchs?
I'm going to go with Mike Martinez, you know, for a guy who was an afterthought last season. You know, he's blossomed in the offseason. He's going to be an integral part of the offense. You know, by the number of one-handed grabs with players draped all over him during the summer tournaments, you know, it previewed, you know, what a big target Martinez should play this season. And as you mentioned, he's one of the captains for MD. So, you know, I look for that leadership role, you know, to step up and have a good year.
All right. I'm going to throw out Cody Epps, shorthanded junior receiver, as stepping up and pushing. You know, maybe he'll push up for that number two receiver spot, but number three. But I think he's a real important guy to watch this year because he's a junior, just like Bryce Young is a junior. So that's your future duo at modern day. And of course, Brew McCoy's number one target. Braden Huffman Dixon is right there, Colorado commit. But watch out for Cody Epps. There's some other receivers. There's some depth there at receiver from modern day. But the last time we saw Cody Epps, he looked outstanding at the Mission Viejo tournament. He's got an offer from Oregon, but I'm really interested to see how this plays out. Cody Epps and Bryce Young.
Yeah, that's a good pick too. He'd probably be the next guy on my list.
All right. Well, those are our breakout players. Last week, you can go back, listen to our podcast. We broke out our under-the-radar players, all different guys. We didn't repeat any of the guys tonight, so that is good. So check out that. And again, thanks for joining us here on the Tree League Football Podcast. Scotty, let's get right down to it. Let's not waste any more time. So let's do our predictions here. 1 through 6, some people think it's going to be top four to make the playoffs this year in Division I. But how do you see the Trinity League going?
You know what? I've been toying back and forth with this. I'm going to go with Mater Dei, St. John Bosco, Olu, J. Serra, Santa Margarita, and then Servite.
Oh. Oh, my goodness. Well, you got the same one right there. The big question marks are going to be, you know, that's exactly the order I have it. You know, the big, you know, it's going to be right at the top, Mater Dei, St. John Bosco. Who wins that? And to me, it's going to, you know, that Servite Santa Margarita is pretty tough. I went back and forth in my predictions on that one. Where do you rank those two teams? But I think top and bottom. But I think you were also thinking, you see more tiers this year, where last year, you know, everybody, it was Mater Dei, Bosco, and everybody else. But I think you were saying you kind of see more different tiers, which I can see. Maybe, I mean, does anybody join Mater Dei, Bosco in that tier to you? And how do you see these tiers playing out that you have kind of mentioned to me?
Yeah, so this year, you know, SAG is separated into three. Last year we had two. You know, this year it's still going to be Mater Dei, Bosco, and then the next two are going to be Orange Luth and J. Serra, and then the next would be Servite, Santa Margarita. And they're kind of spaced, and they're all spaced out. The gaps are drastic. And it doesn't show that in the rankings. So when you see, you know, these rankings of, you know, Olu 2, J. Serra 3, Santa Margarita 5, you know, but it's not that close. I mean, teams have closed the gap, but it's still not that close. When you get down to Mater Dei and Bosco, you know, it a lot of people have said they're going to split. You know, whoever loses this game is going to win the championship, or whoever, you know, vice versa. You know, I'm not sold that this year someone goes and runs the table. I think it's going to be a split, but it's hard. It's flip of the coin on who wins out. You know, look at J. Serra and Olu. Same with that. You know, right now, I have Olu, but I wouldn't be surprised if J. Serra took that game. You know, then we have the Santa Margarita and Servite. You know, that loser is probably going to be the winless team in Trinity League. But right now, you know, I have Santa Margarita over Servite for that one.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I think you got some good points there. And one thing I think about is the schedule too. I think it could be a little bit more wild this year in the Trinity League because I didn't see, and I looked through each team. Nobody has to play Mater Dei and Bosco back to back games, and I think that's huge. And I think there were some teams that sometimes get, you know, you start out or someone you have to play them back to back is really brutal. And I think it's more spread out this year as far as the schedule. And I think that's going to be important.
Yeah, I think Servite was always the bearer of that one.
Yeah.
So they must have, you know, they on the rotation must have flipped. So.
Yeah, like Friars this year, they open with Mater Dei, as we mentioned, and their last game is with Bosco.
That's right, yeah.
And so they got them spread out. You know, you have to think about Mater Dei with their schedule where, you know, they got IMG very next week. They open with their, you know, rival Servite. Then they play Santa Margarita, then Bosco. That's still a tough stretch of games, and that's what Coach Rollinson, you know, talked about. You know, Santa Margarita, I think, is as far as their schedule, there'll be a lot of earnest, you know, like always, that first Trinity League game for them because they're going to open up against Olu, and that's going to be a huge game. Orange Coast College, then they play Mater Dei. So that Orange Lutheran opener is going to be real important for Santa Margarita because then they play Servite and then they play Bosco. So that's one of the schedules that keep an eye on as far as it's definitely a playoff team. And, you know, the way we look at it, right, Scotty, if it is only top four make playoffs, I mean, we would have Mater Dei, Bosco, and then we'd have Olu and Jay Serra. And those two teams I mentioned earlier about being better next year, they'd be on the outside, Santa Margarita, Jay Serra. I mean, Servite, excuse me.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, no at-large this year, huh? I think it's always seemed to be that they would always get that, they would always be have that at modern, or they would always have an at-large. But I'm not so sure this year.
Yeah, and we'll be breaking that down, and a lot of it depends on how everybody does, you know, and, you know, for the, you know, what kind of seasons everybody's having. So, all right, Scotty, well, we've gotten down to our overviews. We have talked about our breakout players, and we got down to the predictions, which we amazingly agree on. So let's talk about this week's games. We got six games. Let's start with Thursday night. So Servite, Troy Thomas makes his return. With Servite as their head coach for the second time. They play host to Bakersfield at San Diego Stadium. That's on Thursday, August 16th, 7 o'clock kickoff. So like we said, Servite's only got the four non-league games at this point. Bakersfield 6-6 last year. They're from the central section. Any thoughts on this game, Scotty?
You know, the Drillers, they return, you know, their core offensive skill guys, and it starts with the Washington commit quarterback Cameron Williams, and he threw for 768 yards, 7 touchdowns. He was 50%, but they're a running team, and Williams is being recruited as a defensive back, so
okay.
But he's very skillful and talented, so that, you know, that athleticism is going to be huge. You know, they're, as I mentioned, you know, they ran, they put up 2,400 yards rushing between six players last year, but two of them return. They have a kid named Taj Wright who ran for 401 yards, 4 touchdowns, and Siante Bell, who had 520 yards, 7 touchdowns. Wright was also their leading receiver with 23 catches for 613 yards, so he's like their big deep threat. So this is an interesting game. You know, I mean, Bakersfield was 6-6 last year. You know, seeing the position Servite's in, having to rebuild everything, you know, as we talked earlier, not having to play a scrimmage. So this is the first time that they put everything together on the field. You know, can Servite pull it off? I thought Sugar's going to go to show how much of a big deal Troy Thomas is for Servite if they come in and end up pulling this one out, you know. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, that's going to be a big game. You know, they'd love to get off to a great start. For the Friars, you know, we'll see how locked in they are. How good are those special teams right away? How much is the execution there? You know, how does Blaise McKibben look, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, how, you know, like I said, we haven't seen anything of them other than, you know, what they've all seen each other in practice. So,
right. All right. Also on Thursday, so we also have Santa Margarita taking on Downey. That is at Tribuco Hills High School, the 16th of August, 7 o'clock. Last year, this game was, you know, pretty ugly. I mean, Downey ended up having a great year. I believe they got to the semifinals, but in their division, Division 4. But, you know, last year, Santa Margarita won this game. It was also an opening game for both these teams, 56-0. And that game was at Downey. So, but Downey was a very scrappy team. They're from the San Gabriel Valley League. They end up winning 11 games last year, and they won a lot of close ones. They got a nice roll after this, and, you know, obviously got to the it was D4 finals. They lost to they lost to Cajon in the Division 4 semis. They beat a couple Orange County teams in pretty close games. They had a close game with Corona Del Mar last year in the playoffs. They're getting some St. John Bosco players, so they're pretty athletic. But what do you know about Downey?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of crazy after getting that drubbing, 56-0. You know, they come in as the Press Telegram's number 7 team in the area. They return 4 all-CAF players, including one of the top area dual-threat QBs in Kajon Foots, who threw for 3,100 yards, 26 touchdowns. He completed 67% of his passes, and he ran for 1,100 yards with 14 touchdowns. But he lost his running mate, Barack Boss Ross, to graduation. You know, as a team, they ran for 4,200 yards. Noah Scobus returns as their leading receiver. He caught 27 passes for 415 yards, 3 touchdowns. And then defensively, their best two-way player, Malcolm Perry, is a 5'10", 225-pound linebacker, leads that way. So I don't know if Foots has the supporting cast as he did last year. The way the Eagles manhandled the Vikings, you know, this could be the same, go down as the same way, just the Trinity League versus a Division IV team. You know, but it may not be 56-0, but it won't probably be that close either.
Yeah, it should be closer with all the changes that Santa Margarita is undergoing. Sophomore quarterback making his Castelli making his Santa Margarita debut. Downey's actually moved up, not surprisingly. They're up actually in Division 3, so they'll be an interesting team to kind of watch with the Cajons in Division 3, Hart, Paraclete, maybe Charter Oak. Those are some of the kind of contenders to watch. I'm hearing some good things about Capo Valley. They've also moved up in Division 3. Nathan Manny is a really good quarterback. I heard they've looked good in the passing league. So, you know, that's another, you know, D3 team perhaps. Sierra Canyon's a Division 3 team. So I think this is going to be a big game for all those new players at Santa Margarita and obviously Castelli. But I would think Santa Margarita rolls pretty good. So let's also go let's go to Friday's schedule. So what do you think about St. John Bosco opening that new stadium that looks wonderful? There's a video on OC Varsity's YouTube channel that we profiled that stadium. They're taking on Temp View from Utah. That's a Friday, 7 o'clock start, and maybe it'll be some festivities before the game. Who knows? But Tim View was 7-3 last year from Utah. They're a 5A team from Utah, one of the bigger divisions. But what are you thinking about this game, Scotty?
Yeah, finished the 13th ranked team in Utah last year, and then this year they come in at number 11, despite not returning a lot. You know, they're 3 offensive linemen come back, and a wide receiver, Rowan Ray, who goes 6'4". You know, he caught 39 passes for like 506 yards, 5 TDs, but they returned zero returning on defense. So that's going to be very not a good sign.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, and they have 4 guys vying for a starting quarterback job.
Uh-oh.
So they haven't even narrowed that down. So, and then they're going to go 4 deep with their running backs, which apparently is their strength. So this is a tall task to take on a St. John Bosco this early. You know, I don't see the Braves having an issue with them. So, I think they're going to roll with this one.
All right. How about our Orange Lutheran Lancers going down South County, taking on San Juan Hills. This is game's also on Friday the 17th, 7 o'clock start at the Badlands, as they call them, at San Juan Hills. Coaching debut for one Robert Frith, the former El Toro head coach, who was known for coaching another Manning. That would be Connor Manning, former county record holder, and was a great passer. And Rob Frith has been known for his up-tempo, no-huddle, spread offense. So there'll probably be some of that. San Juan Hills scrimmaged Capo Valley, and the word was that Capo, of course, with Nathan Manning, looked pretty good, and was and San Juan Hills had some trouble defending Nathan Manning, who threw about three or four touchdowns in that scrimmage, and limited time, of course. I expect Helinski and company to get off to a big flying start in this game.
I agree. When I heard that news, I was like, this doesn't sound good for San Juan Hills. I know they're going to have that. They have the nation's one of the top linemen with Sean Ryan.
Yes.
But that's pretty much it. You know, they don't return much on either side of the ball. I think their leading rusher is Chase Monarch, who had 355 yards. He's their top statistical leader. I think they lost one of their best defensive players, Frisco Toyate, who transferred out, went over to Carson.
He
had 6.5 sacks, and he had like 50 tackles from their linebacker spot. I don't see, them giving Olu much resistance, especially, what was displayed in the scrimmage. So that's what I have on that one.
There was a couple guys, and the Carson kid, Frisco, definitely got on my radar. Who's the guy I was looking for this year? There was a couple guys I thought looked really good on film I'm trying to find them on from San Juan Hills. But they had a defensive end who's got an offer from BYU. So I'm interested to see how he does. And then they had also had a secondary, a safety receiver guy that I think could be pretty good. So, I think San Juan is going to be still outmatched. But I think at specific spots, let's see how Cade Albright is the senior defensive end. Let's see how that goes with an Orange Lutheran tackle. I don't know. I mean, one guy, one matchup. But something for Orange Lutheran to look at. Cade's 6'5", 200, and got a good motor. So he's one of he was a good player. And we'll see how they defensively how they match up. If San Juan Hills really has their offense going right away, which would seem unlikely in Coach Rob Frist's first game. So let's also go on Friday to Santa Ana Stadium, the Bowl, where Modern Day is taking on Bishop Amant. Last year, this game also was a blowout city, and I wouldn't expect it to be any different. Last year, Modern Day, in its very first game of the year, won. That was 31-7 at Bishop Amant. I would expect something very similar to that.
Yeah, they the last season it was probably the closest game that Modern Day played, but as far as score wise, it was kind of a win in a ho-hum fashion, but Modern Day began that season with numerous players out to injury, and it was JT's first game back from resting his arm in the summer. I think Modern Day tried to run the ball a little bit more, so they didn't open it up as much, and then Amant began the season 0-4 and then rallied to finish the season 5-2, losing to Bosco the first round. And that game was 35-21, and the game was closer than the score indicated. Amant comes into this season probably returning, quarterback Adam Archuleta, who threw for 1,400 yards, 12 TDs, and they have junior running back Damon Moore, who was kind of a surprise, ran for 700 yards as a sophomore. They only returned two offensive linemen, to an offense that averaged 24 points a game. Defensively, Amant allowed 27 per game. And they have three returners on defense. And then one newcomer to watch is sophomore Dyson McCutcheon. He's the son of former Amat star USC and NFL player Dalen McCutcheon.
Okay.
You know, so he's going to be, you know, playing some defense. I don't think they had a slate on offense, though he probably could because of his athleticism, but he's going to be, I think, at corner.
Yeah, and Amat's a team for us to follow. I mean, I assume they're the top-ranked team out of the San Gabriel Valley?
Yes, they are. They gave them the number one spot, which is kind of a you know, when you look at that, you know, I think they've even had them rated as high as 34, 31 in California, which is, you know, I think is pretty high. And I know that, you know, they've just never been able to start out of the gate.
Right.
That's just been their MO. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't think, you know, I think modern day doesn't, you know, depending on how rusty they are, if they are, you know, depends on how I don't see Amat giving them any trouble.
Yeah. Well, like I would say, the Lancers, I mean, and good job on the breakdown, Scotty. They're an interesting team because, you know, preseason Division I, they're ranked 10th. You look at the power rankings, they're somewhere maybe in the middle of – it's actually 18 teams in Division I. So, you know, that's where you get those. You have to take two teams out. It's going to be a 16-team bracket. So two teams are coming out, and people think it's going to be the Trinity League bottom two. But you have to watch out for Mont, too, because I think in a couple weeks they play they play Jay Serra.
Jay Serra, yeah.
So there's going to be always that interesting, cross with playing a couple of Trinity League teams. Because I think outside of Modern Day and Jay Serra, I think those are their big games. So we'll see. Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the Lancers fare and what that might mean for this Modern Day Bishop Mott game. What does that mean for the Jay Serra game?
Yeah, that's very true. You know, a lot of it can change from them, but it just gives you everybody an idea of where those two teams are at. So,
all right, and last but not least, Corona Del Mar taking on Jay Serra. That game's going to be at Jay Serra, the friendly confines of the stands right close to the field at the new on-campus stadium there. You know, they kind of put it together there at Jay Serra for intimate setting, little rowdy. But this is probably the best game in Orange County week zero as far as OC teams. Both teams ranked in the Orange County top 10. Interesting side story, is that Corona Del Mar demolished Jay Serra in the passing league summer tournament at Redondo Beach. Jay Serra could not stop John Humphreys or Mark Redman or Ethan Garbers, but that was passing league. Now it's going to be different where Jay Serra's got all those big linemen. They got Chris Street to unleash. There's going to be hitting from Victor Clanton and Calvin Musette. And a lot of big size at linemen for Jay Serra. They'll be bigger. Corona Del Mar has one senior starter maybe on offense. Sean Owens is the outstanding center. But Corona Del Mar's best is really next year where, you know, Garbers and Humphreys and Redmond, they're all juniors. And people are still surprised when I tell them John Humphreys is a junior. So is Mark Redmond and so is Ethan Garbers. People think they're seniors because they have all these, especially Redmond and Humphreys have all these offers. They're only juniors. I would still expect Jay Serra to be able to win this game, but we'll see how much do they have to spend to win this game and how many points are they going to give up? Are they going to be able to make some stops, Scotty?
Yeah, I mean, last year it was 45-27, and I was surprised that Jay Serra even gave up 27, allowed them 27 points. You know, does Corona Del Mar close that gap? You know, I think, you know, Humphreys and Redmond match up with anybody, you know, with Jay Serra, but I think that's probably going to be it. You know, I think, you know, Garber played in that backup role last season. He gets his shot to build off what he did in the summer. You know, I expect the Lions size up front to take over, and that's going to be the difference. You know, I think Humphreys and Redmond will get their catches, but it'll be a similar role to last season. You know, they're going to be playing catch up. But, you know, how many scores can they match? You know, they're going to have to, you know, trade off, pound, you know, punch for punch. But, You know, I think the Sea Kings are small, you know, up front. You know, like we had mentioned, their best O-line is Sean Owens coming in at 6'3", 235. He's going to be outweighed nearly 30 pounds with Jay Sarah's defensive line. You know, and the same can be said for their for the Sea King defensive line versus Jay Sarah's offensive line, who's averaging about 275. You know, so as first games go, you know, this is a good one. You know, kicks off the season. But like I said, in the end, I think it's pretty much going to be similar to last year's score.
Yeah. You know, and like you said, it's a good one. Jay Sarah's going to see some outstanding athletes, Pac-12 type guys. But have you noticed that Jay Sarah's got a pretty good schedule coming after this? And like I just mentioned the Amont game. But the way it works out for Jay Sarah is after this game, they go up to play Calabasas, who's pretty darn good, won 10 games last year. Then they play that Amont game at Amont. That's kind of why I think our Trinity League football podcast guys got to watch that modern day Amont game because of what it means for Jay Sarah. And then on Saturday, August 8th, Jay Sarah takes on Pinnacle of Phoenix, Arizona, who's a really good team from the big division, I should say, in Arizona. That's going to be a kind of a showcase game at Moore Park College. So those are pretty good tests right out of the way. And then even, you know, they close after before they start league, they take their bye week. Jay Sarah opens with Bosco, by the way, in the Trinity League. So I should have mentioned that one earlier. And then they close with Faith Lutheran, a pretty good team out of Las Vegas. That's a home game. But Jay Sarah, Scotty, have you noticed it's a pretty good schedule? I mean, it's right. I mean, no one's playing modern day schedule. And Olu's playing Mission and Centennial and Heritage. But I would say Jay Sarah has the third toughest schedule in the league. What do you say?
No, I agree. You know, they stepped up by adding those, you know, that out-of-state game and picking up Calabasas. Kind of always kind of running the gauge because I don't think Calabasas has played a D1 team, let alone a Trinity League, in you know, the last 3 years when they've had all those big time athletes. I think what separates them is they're, you know, again, it's going to be the men in the trenches, and it'll be interesting, you know, when we see those 3 weeks, how the outcome of those games, because it'll be won and lost depending on, you know, being able, Jay Sarah being able to control the line of scrimmage, because I think that's been the difference with Jay Sarah is they've kind of struggled because people have been able to push them around and move the ball on them and make things a little bit more challenging for them. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if these guys, you know, just mow down everybody with the size they have, because they're probably going to be the biggest they have been in the last few years.
Yeah. And that's why I have them ranked above Mission Viejo. I don't think Mission's got – if they were to hook up, I don't think Mission would have that kind of size. And I know Mission doesn't have as great – they say they don't have as much depth as they had. And I think Jay Sarah doesn't have as many two-way players as Jay Sarah. I think Jay Sarah has less two-way players than Mission. So we'll have to – and I should probably throw out, you know, Santa Margarita I think has got a good schedule too. I mean – they got Mission Viejo. They're playing some, you know, they're playing another Utah team too. We might have to follow the Utah football a little bit closer too. The 15th of September, they're playing Orem of Utah, who won 12 games last year. But we'll see. I mean, they're playing, you know, but they're also playing Downey and Mayfair. I'm not sure how strong those are. There's a Cherry Creek team too, but Santa Margarita's schedule's not bad as well. So it should be interesting, Scotty. So I assume you'll be at the modern day Amont game?
Yes, that's the game I will be at on Friday night.
All right. Well, Scotty, great job tonight with the previews, predictions, breakout players. Great talking to you once again.
Oh, as always, Dan, it's fun. I think this has probably been our most in-depth preview that we've had yet. But I just hope everybody's enjoys listening to it.
Well, I know I hope so as well, and I know I enjoy talking to you, Scotty, so great job. Enjoy that game. I will be at the Jay Sarah game against Corona Del Mar, so we'll have some audio back from that game. And wherever you go, enjoy the game, and thanks again for listening to us on the Trinity League Football Podcast.
I think we're getting better every day. We're learning a lot. I think the senior class is really at least understanding, like, all right, this is where we gotta go as leaders, and they're being taught what leadership looks like. And, you know, that's a big thing at Servite anyway, so we're really giving those guys a real crash course on leadership.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're listening. You know, it takes time, though,
yeah,
to become a great leader.